Welcome back, everyone. I'm chatting with my guest, Jerry Apps. That's life. And Jerry, it was great that you anticipated where I was going to go with the discussion next, with your conversation about the Native American Trail. And I just want to remind my neighbor that, of course, where the road runs nowadays was a product of the ability to grade and move earth. So the original Native American Trail, of course, does not follow where the road follows today. And I'll tell you where it did go, because I happened to be hunting many years ago with my grandfather, and we went hunting down in the bottom of that ravine that runs from the Chain Lakes area to the west. You know where that valley is. It's actually part of a glacial feature. And down in the bottom of that valley, of course, Native Americans were smart, and they weren't going to run up over the top of a hill if they didn't have to. So they walked down through the bottom of the valley. And when you get to the bottom of that valley, you will see the trail cut down through the bottom. It was about 2 feet deep, the trail, which had been worn through the bottom of the valley. And that's actually where the Native American Trail was. And so I'm really glad
which is parallel to County A, of course.
Yeah, it's parallel, but it's down in the valley rather than up on the hill. And I'm really glad. I'm glad you brought up the idea of the Native Americans, Jerry, because the Native Americans were, of course, a large part of the area that you and I grew up in, and of course a large part of the history of Wisconsin. And we need to always be mindful that it was.
Yeah, and we must remember that the Native Americans were our early farmers too. They were not only hunters and gatherers, but many of them had farming patches, which is also something new to some people.
Yeah, and the early history of my family crosses over with the Native Americans in that my grandfather told me that his father-in-law, when he acquired the property out there on what's now called the prairie, and for all of our listeners, this is part of the Glacial Lake, Wisconsin area. It was planted to wheat in the early days. And, of course, the Native Americans were used to walking across the prairie to their fishing grounds, and they didn't let a little thing like a field of wheat obstruct them. They walked through the wheat. And so I was told about how there were pathways through the wheat created by the Native Americans. So there's, of course, a very deep history of Native Americans being involved in early Wisconsin culture, as you are well aware, Jerry.
Yes. In fact, on the farm that I own now, which is south of where I grew up by a couple of miles, there are a couple of ponds on my farm, and the people who owned the farm previously to us, she told me about how the Indians had camped at these ponds on their way from Adams County on to Berlin and with their furs in the spring, which is another interesting aside.
Okay, we're ready to take some calls. I see we've got John from DeForest waiting on the line. John, what do you got to say?
First of all, I'm glad I could make it to your first show, Nate. And I'm really interested in what you have to say about the lay of the land, because Wisconsin, to me, I've lived here all my life, and things like Allison Dairyland and Drumlins and Kettles, and they're all part of the Wisconsin that I grew up in and that I learned about in school. And I've told you the story before that my grandfather was early radio and television in Wisconsin. His name was Ray Stachowiak. So there's a landscape there with the radio programs that reached out to the early farmers, or the farmers in early radio and television in the state, that is very important to me. And just the diversity in our agricultural landscape because of the glaciers and the history of the state is part of the landscape. So I think that definitely has something to do. But I did have a question for you and your guest, and that was, I was wondering if you could tell us about the Grange. What happened to the Grange? Where did it go? What became of the Grange in Wisconsin?
Jerry, you probably have a good feel for that. It was one of the early institutions of rural Wisconsin. Yeah,
it was comparable to what we now know as the Farm Bureau and the Farmers Union and the National Farmers Organization. It was an early organization of farmers who were upset about a number of things, including especially the railroads and the railroad fares. And I think the Grange was also helpful in getting rural free delivery, meaning that the mail delivery would come directly to the farm. And I think the remnants of the Grange still remain. I did a program with the Grange group a few years ago. I haven't heard recently what they may be up to, but the Grange halls still remain in some communities where they met, and they were a very important organization that stood for farmers and helped farmers deal with some of the political problems they faced and some of the problems that they had, as I mentioned, with railroads and so on. So it was a very important group.
What era would that have been, kind of the early 20th century?
Oh, golly, it'd be in the early middle 1800s, I suspect.
Okay.
I've got it in one of my books. I write a history, and my book, Wisconsin Agriculture History, I think I've got a little history of the Grange in there, and I'm not remembering exactly what year they may have started.
Yeah, that's a good thing that you mentioned the Grange halls, Jerry, because some of our listeners, when they travel around Wisconsin, they get out in some of these rural areas, you may see some of these old wood frame buildings, and they will sometimes say the Grange Hall or Grange on them, and now you'll know what that is reference to. I also want to interject now, folks, that our programming is supported by Wisconsin Grassroots Network, and so if you want to find out more about the sponsor, Wisconsin Grassroots Network, you can go to their website, wigrassrootsnetwork.org, and you can also help support this program by clicking on the donate button. We're kind of set for the next 3 months, but whether we go on beyond that will depend on whether we get some contributions similar to public radio. Our donors make all the difference. So we appreciate any support you can give us. Also, as far as if you want to take a look at or listen to our podcast, you can dial into the podcast programs through with this number, 844-967-2789. Again, that's 844-967-2789. So you can share that number with folks who didn't hear the program tonight, or if you, I don't know for what reason, but if you wanted to listen again, you could. So I just want to make that all available to you. So we will be taking a break here in a few minutes, and we'll come back for some more questions and some more conversation with my guest, Jerry Apps. See you soon.
There's nothing shaking come this here July. I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball.